Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim, DoneParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I had a situation come up recently, and I decided I need to do a teaching on forgiveness and trust rightly divided. Forgiveness and trust rightly divided. You know, I had to deal with forgiveness and trust with a brother recently, so I thought it'd make a good topic to teach on. Remind us all what it is, how to rightly divide it. As Christians, speaking to born-again Christians here, born again by the gospel, go to DoneParish.com, see the gospel. We all have to walk through many such trials and tribulations in our faith life. Forgiveness and trust are both very important parts of our walk that we're all striving and taking as we endure towards eternal life. Amen? Now, thankfully, hopefully you can hear me, I'm out in the street. Thankfully, God's holy word teaches us that we can be forgiven from past sins by Christ's finished work if we will repent and forsake our sins. Isn't that a glorious thing? God gives us forgiveness because of what Christ has done. Again, see the gospel at DoneParish.com. Jesus Christ was fully man, fully God. He was the model of forgiveness that we all must follow if we claim Him as our Lord and Master. Now, we all expect, we hope, and we desire for God to forgive us. Amen? It's our only hope. We've all ruined our perfect righteousness because we've sinned. I myself have had to ask my Father in heaven many times, even since being born again, to please forgive me, Father. So He's patient. He's long-suffering. If we're repentive, He continues to forgive us. What a glorious thing. So we all want to be forgiven, but we have to ask ourselves, shouldn't we then also forgive? This is a problem a lot of people have. Let's talk about it. Peter once asked Jesus this, Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and shall I forgive him? Seven times? Now, as usual, Jesus, coming to show us who God is, He raises the bar for all of us, and He says this in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Yeah, do your math, folks. That's a lot of times to forgive somebody, right? So it's clear. Jesus says, yes, forgive. Now, in our flesh, even walking in the Spirit, this can be a hard thing to do to people that hurt us, sin against us, lie against us, whatever they do wrong. But in the Spirit of God, it's possible. And it's not only possible, folks, it is absolutely required. And I'm going to show you why. So again, what a joy to know that we have this forgiveness in Christ. But here's something to keep in mind. Forgiveness is something that must flow. You're going to need more of it. I'm going to need more of it. Others are going to need more of it. And it's like water through a pipe. Think about that. Water through a pipe. It's always flowing. Well, I come from a cold climate, Wisconsin. And back then, when we'd get sub-zero temperatures, we'd leave the water run, trickle. And it wouldn't freeze because it kept flowing. Get that? As soon as we shut the water off overnight, boop, it would freeze solid. Well, same mindset. All of us must keep our forgiveness in our life free-flowing. So we don't get stuck, frozen, then we get no forgiveness from God. Does that make sense? We give forgiveness, we get forgiveness, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. If we repent, if people repent, then we give it to others freely, no matter what. All right, we're going to talk about why we do it. But if we hold back and we stop the flow of forgiveness, then we're left unforgiven ourselves. That's not a good place to be. So we forgive even those who don't deserve it. That's a key point. Let me ask you a question. Did you deserve God's forgiveness? Now we have to make ourselves eligible by repenting and asking for mercy. But the question is, do you deserve God's forgiveness? No, neither do I, nor does anyone. So you give forgiveness freely. All right, let's keep going here. Talking about forgiveness. mercy. We want to give forgiveness and we want to give mercy. Now, some people are repentful and they make mistakes and they ask for forgiveness. And again, that makes them eligible for biblical forgiveness before God. And also, it helps in our relationships, doesn't it? Now, others are not. They don't repent. They don't care. And you still have to forgive them. And then it's wise to just move on. All right? Generally, unless you're talking about a marriage, it's best to just move on, forgiving them, let the mercy flow, and go on with your life. Don't hold a grudge, though. Be forgiving, and then move on. Now, I myself, before I knew Christ, and many I have counseled, have stopped forgiving. They have a hardness of heart. And this is a path to sure condemnation. Don't go that route, okay? Let me share with you why. Jesus said this, Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespassing. Wow. How terrifying is that, folks? Take that to heart, will you? You don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. No conditions to it. So make sure that you're seeking to have a forgiving heart when it comes to others. Now, this is a whole nother teaching, but I wanted to cover this quickly. Why do we forgive? Let's get some basics. One, we do it for God's glory. Our lives are supposed to be about His glory. Two, it's proof we have a saving faith and Christ is working in us through His Spirit and Word. And three, to not forgive puts us in bondage and we have a root of bitterness. And how can we be blameless? And how can we be free? Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So unforgiveness is a wicked, wicked thing that will eat you up. You forgive, it helps you, it glorifies God. Yeah, practice forgiveness, folks. Now, we understand that we must embrace this forgiveness. Now, we've covered that. We know we have to forgive, right? In all instances, whether they repent, whether they're sorry, whether they don't, whether they ask for forgiveness, we must forgive. But now moving on to trust. Jesus said this, Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Wise, wisdom. So you ask, Brother Jim, how do we bring wisdom into play when we're talking about forgiveness and moving towards possibly trust again, right? How do we use wisdom to move past forgiveness and get back into trust again? Well, to forgive is godly, but to not use wisdom and then just trust someone blindly, it's foolishness. All right, you don't want to just forgive and then be a person that's used over and over again without using any wisdom, right? Just makes sense. I want to be very clear though. The main point of this teaching, it's the main point I want to drive home. Forgiving and trusting are two very different things. Let me say it again. Forgiving and trusting are two very different things. We're commanded to forgive. Yep. We're not commanded that we have to trust. All right. You can have one and not the other. Consider that, will you? Let me give you an example. If a person wrongs us, sins against us, lies, whatever, there's mistrust, God teaches us to forgive them unconditionally for ourselves, for His glory. If they ask for forgiveness, then we're forgiving them. But folks, there's not one scripture that commands that we trust other people who sinned or wronged against us. Think about that. Not one New Testament verse that says that. Trust this person. No, trust between Christians, I'm speaking about Christians here, is something that's grown over time. It cannot be demanded, cannot be expected. It must be propagated. So imagine, let me give you an example. A man cheats on his wife. Now, she's hurt, but biblically she needs to forgive him lest she be eaten up by the root of bitterness and sin, not glorifying to God, not good for a witness. But no man, no counselor, no pastor, no friend can say, now you got to trust him again. Oh, no. No, no, no. Forgiving and trusting are two different things. The forgiveness should come quickly if your heart's right with God. But trust is something that must be sown. Remember, we reap what we sow. Nurtured, Galatians 6:7 tells us we reap what we sow. It must be sown, it must be nurtured, and it must be harvested over a long time to build a good, godly relationship full of love and trust. Doesn't that make sense? Now that man who cheated, it could be a long, long, long road back if it's ever possible for her to trust him again. Some people never get trust back. They get forgiveness. The trust never comes back if the sin is great enough, depending upon all the details. So sin has consequences, folks. Lies, mistrust, and we do reap what we sow. Please consider that. So moving on, if you value truth, which we're supposed to, spirit and truth worship, right? John 4:24. Trust in a fragile, precious relationship is a key component that takes a lot of time to propagate, all right? But here's the dangerous part. So trust takes a long time to propagate. It can be ruined very quickly by lying, deceit, not being loving. It can be ruined very quickly. So please consider that. Long time to build up, very brief time to destroy it. But the good news is we do serve a God of redemption. There's hope, there's forgiveness, there's a possibility for restoration. We strive for that always, of course. But wisdom says, we're back to the wisdom. Wisdom says certain things must be in place to make sure we can begin to gain it back. Let me share my thoughts on that. First, I want to say this. I trust anyone that I just meet that comes along within reason. Obviously, wouldn't trust them with little children and all that. But I trust anyone to by their word till they prove me otherwise, till they prove me wrong. Then, you have to use wisdom if they go against you or lie or sin. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, speaketh not of her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So charity means love. So if I love people, I can't look at a new person and go, he's probably a liar. He's probably untrustworthy. No, I got to think the best, be careful for the worst, and use wisdom. Amen? So now when someone breaks that trust and they wrong us, they sin, they lie, they maybe ignore you for a long time when they said they weren't going to, they don't show up when they're supposed to, they don't keep their word, there's a big one. I find very few men today keep their word. This causes mistrust, right? So we got to forgive them, but the trust is damaged and we have to use wisdom to move forward and attempt to get it back, lest we be a fool. Jesus said this in Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So there's good news. You go to a brother, you say, hey, you did this. You know, what say you? He repents, he asks for forgiveness. You can gain your brother back. Then the process starts. You've forgiven him. God forgives him if he repents. Then the process starts to work towards trust using wisdom. And this process is obviously easy if they are remorseful and repentive and they say, I did wrong, I need to work and get your trust back. Well, then there's great hope, isn't there? But still using wisdom over time, not just jumping right back in. Now, if you've had a long, long, long-term relationship with lots of trust, and then you have a few, you know, road bumps where there's a few issues, it can be restored easier because that person has a long track record. But if you're brand new with somebody, and then you either lie or don't keep your word or don't say what you're going to do or don't show up to study the word when you said you were going to, you create a pattern of yourself long before you've had any trust built up. You see that? That's very, very damaging. So you need to consider that. Ruins your witness, ruins your word. Jesus said, let your yea be yea. Hey? So also, new saints, so brand new baby saints, they're just born again. Yeah, we have to be careful to give them maybe some extra grace. Maybe they don't understand some things. Maybe they aren't sure. Maybe they get scared. They think they're going to fall back. But even then, be careful, because if they're going to continue in those patterns, that may be their character trait. It has nothing to do with them being a new believer. They may just be untrustworthy, not keep their word. That's something that sows mistrust. So you got to consider all these things as you're using wisdom, looking forward to trying to gain trust again. So either way, they're refusing to repent or they apologize, forgive them. It's usually best to move on unless we're talking about a marriage or something. If you can't regain trust in the relationship and they're unwilling to, wisdom says that we are to walk in caution throughout our Christian life. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. So the heart. So don't go by your emotions. Oh, I really like this guy and we had fun. You know, we went fishing together and we liked preaching together. I really like him. I'm just going to overlook all of his shortcomings. You're not glorifying God. You're not helping him. You're not being honest with yourself. Wisdom to take the path forward. So that verse is warning us about our flesh and we're not to be in the flesh. Romans 8, right? Amen. So, moving back to regaining trust, the relationship most often must be taken backwards to build again a good foundation rather than just pushing on right from where you are. Jesus said, the wise man builds a house upon the rock, not sand. So imagine you are building a house, you start putting the floor on, and you find out the foundation is flawed. Do you keep going and go, oh, whatever, we'll just make a better floor? Oh no, the foundation is flawed. Most times you got to remove the floor, rework on the foundation. I think relationships are a lot like that too. If we find cracks and errors in a relationship, whether it's mistrust or lying or something of a new believer, whatever, it's got to be removed, remove everything else, take a step back, and then start working on the foundation to make it solid, and then you have a chance to get godly trust and have a long-lasting, good, pure, honest relationship. If we forgive them, but if we allow that same person to keep hurting us, keep doing the same sin, again, we're not helping them. We're not glorifying God. We're not using wisdom. No, we have to stand and have standards according to God's word, our own life. This will encourage people to live according to God's word. Don't walk in your flesh. A lot of people are caught up in fellowship idolatry. They let people walk all over them just to have friends and family. They let churches do a lot of sinful, worldly things so they can still have fellowship. Very sinful. Don't do this. Serve God first, not man. Don't be a man pleaser. So I want to be clear here. Looking to build some honesty and trust back into a relationship is a very good thing, but never trust in men themselves, as we all fail. Get that? Looking to get trust back in a relationship is a good thing, but never look to trust the men or people themselves. No, you cannot find in the New Testament word one place where it ever tells us to trust in a man or a woman. No, 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 no. We are to trust in who? 2 Corinthians 1:9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So we trust in God, we trust in Christ. Now, having trust in a relationship is not the same as trusting in that person. Meaning, you've got investment in it, he's got it, or her has investment in it. You have a trust between you in the relationship. The trust is in the relationship, it's not in that person per se. We trust in Christ alone. Don't be a people pleaser. Don't be man-centered. Be Christ-centered, and everything else builds off of that. Doesn't that make sense? So here's what I found. Brother Jim found in my ministry life and my personal life, some saints that we walk with are solid. They're consistent. They're trustworthy. And we have no trust issues ever with them. Very rare, very few, but it's true. Then there's other relationships that seem to be always up and down, turmoil, tribulation, mistrust, maybe some deceit, maybe a lie or not showing up when they should. And this is troubling, and it's to be expected because humans are flawed, but we don't stand for it. We don't allow it. We work to deal with it for the glory of God. Amen. I have to admit, in my youth, long before I was a Christian, and even as a baby Christian, I definitely could have done better in some of my relationships, and I did not strive as hard or as biblical as I do today. So we're all going to learn. We're all going to grow in time. We're all going to get better with maturity. We should, as we're growing up, being a fully godly person in Christ, using patience, long-suffering, never allowing sin, using wisdom. Don't be trampled on, all right? Don't let people smear Christ's name. All right, hold them to the word of God, hold them to their testimony. So all these factors have to be taken into the whole process of forgiving, then regaining trust back in relationships. Wisdom, forgiving, and regaining trust in relationships. To sum it all up, I want to give you a saying. Forgiveness is a must, but use wisdom in trust. Right? Forgiveness is a must. Always forgive. Use wisdom in trust. Should they be trusted again? Are they striving? Do you have safety things in play to protect you in the relationship? Something to consider. Christ teaches us to always forgive, but don't be a foolish doormat for relationship abusers. The world's full of them. And in these last days, Jesus said, the love of many will wax cold. So people are less loving, less concerned about each other. It's very, very sad. Be careful. Some people are users and they have a track record of it. And unless they're willing to repent and be counseled and work through it, they got to be plucked out. Again, and we're not talking about marriage here. That's a whole nother thing. We're talking about friends and associations. So all of this is a very fine line full of a bunch of details, and each situation is different with many variables, but you must consider this as you carry out both forgiveness and regaining trust using wisdom. Forgive, seek trust, seek redemption in a relationship, but trust in God, never men. It's not good to have honesty in relationships it's all built on you trusting that person rather than built on Christ as our rock, and then you each are following Christ and you can build on that trust in the relationship based on that. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful way to do it? Christ the foundation, the relationship built on Christ, not on each other. This all helps us. It's a sign of good fruit. It aids us in our witness, and it brings us to a holy service of God and others see it. And it should be something that's desirable for God's people. Amen. I want to leave you with this scripture verse, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, I skipped ahead. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, wouldn't it be glorious to have relationships built on that? That's the goal. And that's where we need to forgive when it falls short, because we all need forgiveness, and if we want to be forgiven, all right? And then we have to use wisdom in looking to gain the trust back over time with safeties put in place to protect you, protect your witness, protect God's glory, and see, you know, sometimes you can regain trust in a relationship and it can be better than it ever was. Many times, once trust is ruined, it can never get back. But that's something worth striving for, because we love people, we love our neighbor, and we want to help them, and we want to be an example and a model, a tupos, a model, 1 Peter 5, of redemption and the work of Christ. Amen. So I hope this helps you. This has been Brother Jim. We love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. All kinds of material for you. The gospel, sisters blogs, audios, street preaching videos. To help you in the faith, to help you be a biblical New Testament saint. To learn how to walk after Christ, to walk with others. And yeah, how to deal with all these situations that come up. Because we're a flawed people, but we must do it according to God's word for His glory. We got to get down the gospel road, preaching the gospel in Tennessee, working our way towards the Midwest. Got to be preaching at a big event on pagan Easter Sunday, if it all works out. More to come on that. Famous false teacher that needs exposing. Hey, we love you all. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Forgive. Use wisdom to seek trust in all your relationships. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.